Get your Bibles. Get your Bibles. This is the beginning of Transcending Conference 2015. This is the very beginning of what God has spoken to me last year in November concerning where the body of Christ was going to go. And if we're not careful, we can miss it. Some of y'all want to say, well, you know, if God spoke it, then it's going to be. No, you can miss it by getting out of position. By getting your spirit and your soul so jacked up that you're out of position with the Spirit of God, even though a word has proceeded out of his mouth. It will not return void unto him. You just may not get it when everybody else is getting it. And then you're going to get mad at God because, well, it didn't happen when everybody else was happening, so because it wasn't a true word of God. That's a lying spirit. Here's the thing that takes place in the body of Christ. When he speaks a word, it begins to form and becomes into fruition when the people line up. Just because he told Moses to tell, let my people go, didn't mean it was going to happen immediately, did he? Matter of fact, the Bible says that even God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. But God spoke, you're going to set my people free. But now I'm going to harden the heart of Pharaoh, the one that you're going to go and talk to. Doesn't that sound kind of strange? Wait a minute, God, why are you going to tell me to go? And you know, Moses stuttered. Much like most of us do when we get up here in front of people, we don't want to sing loud. We don't want to look into people's eyes. We don't want to talk loud. We don't want to say anything. All we want to do is do. And you're in church. You shouldn't be afraid. But I know what happens is that we don't want to face the very thing that God said that you're supposed to do. We're afraid to do it. So we stand in that place where we've always been. You haven't gone any further, but you're saying, well, I guess that word isn't true. How many of you have received a word that you're going to be a preacher? Raise your hand. You preaching? Am I preaching? You can talk back to me. It's all right. You're not preaching, are you? Did you think that when he said that you're going to preach, that it meant standing behind here? Are you preaching out there? Preaching out there? Yeah? You're preaching out there? So when you get up here, you're not going to be scared no more, right? What happened to the yeses? What happened to the noes? It's kind of, here's what I'm trying to get at, is that God is trying to get his people to understand that he's working through them for his destiny and his purpose for your life. You understand? But what happens is we get some things kind of twisted. We get things kind of messed up. So then what happens is he has to speak something to tell you where the body is going to go. When you receive a prophetic word, what usually happens? Like a U-turn goes the opposite way. It's not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're going to find yourself a bride and you're going to get married. Or your Boaz is right around the corner. Just didn't say what corner. So what happened? It goes this way. It makes you want to doubt. Well, so when he speaks a word of transcending, he's telling us that we're going to go somewhere that we haven't been. But we got to let go of stuff that we've been holding on to. We hold on to it for so long that it's a part of us. It's a part of us. It's a part of us. Don't you get tired of carrying stuff around with you? Right? Let's let it go. Let it go. You know the hardest thing to let go? The hardest thing. What is it? What is it? What is it? Hello? Okay, y'all are trying to give me the Christian responses. Forgiveness. You offended me. How long you been offended? About 15 years. What good is that for you to hold it? And then not only that, you hold on to it for so long, you become bitter. But you don't realize you become bitter. That's just my nature. So you came out of your mama's belly bitter, huh? No. You choose to be bitter throughout life and how your responses are is because of what's going on in your life. You choose the response to your life. So then God speaks. I'm going to transcend my body. Okay, maybe he's not speaking to anybody else. Maybe he's just speaking just to Marty. Not Pastor Marty, just Marty. Well, then I begin to ask God, well, what is transcending? What does it mean that we're going to transcend? Okay, if it's not for my church, it's for me. Okay, God, what do I got to let go? He goes, oh, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. So I start going through a process. Lord, I need some help in this area. He goes, son, you need help in every area. God, I thought you were a loving God. Because I love you enough to tell you the truth. You want to carry this thing with you? It's going to take you that much longer for you to cross over. In order for you to transcend, you've got to go above and beyond. How many of you want to excel in what you're doing? You want to excel in it? What are you doing to make sure you excel in it? Just desiring it doesn't mean you're going to excel. You've got to do something. Michael Jordan got cut when he was in high school. So what did he do when he got cut? He got mad. He started crying. And I'm not going to play no more. Coach don't like me. Coach don't like me, so I'm not going to play no more. Coach says I was too skinny. And Michael Jordan, not me. Michael Jordan. They were like, church folk, boy, they'd look you up and down like crazy. Michael Jordan didn't get mad, didn't get bitter. He worked harder. Got to the point that his dad would go outside and say, son, it's time to come in. No, dad, let me do it a little bit longer. Five more minutes. No, it kept on. So then he goes back the next year. And he makes it on the team. The greatest thing that Michael Jordan ever happened in his life wasn't all the accolades, all the trophies, wasn't the MVPs. It was him getting cut. Because that made him work even harder. You understand that? Some of the greatest things in life are your major setbacks. But you don't look at them that way. It's what you do with your setback to make it a setup. But if you look at everything in your life that is so bad, I mean, it's just bad, then you're going to stay bound, stuck. And then you'll blame everybody else around you. Is that really fun? How many of you know people like that? Don't look at them, just. We get stuck. And we get stuck in a situation like that and we don't understand when we're coming out. God, I need to know. How many of you would like to know when you're coming out of your season? Everybody, right? Well, we'll try to do everything to make it happen fast, won't we? Yeah, why don't you get out of the way and let God do it? Hello? So here's what transcending means. To rise above or go beyond. Overpass and exceed. To outdo or exceed in excellence. Elevation, extent, degree, surpass, and excel. You understand that? Transcend. Well, guess who transcended? Thank you, sir. Jesus. So I want to take you through the positions of Jesus to show his transcending that took place, that we have to understand that our problems that we have, our setbacks, our I'm not happy with such and such. I'm not happy with sister so and so. I'm not happy with, pastor, whatever. All these things that happen in your life are challenges to show you what's inside. If you respond the same way all the time to a situation or a circumstance, do you think God is trying to show you something? He's trying to show you it's still there. How many of you get mad when somebody cuts you off? Y'all are Christians. Bless them. Bless you. out, what we do is we get mad. And those blessings sure do come out your mouth, don't they? Well, the Bible says that when you curse a Christian, you're blessing them. I mean, I don't even realize you're cursing that you're doing at people. You're blessing them, but cursing yourself. What is that anger going to do? What's that honking going to do but get you shot? What's all that yelling going to do like they hear you anyhow? Huh? What's it going to do? Nothing. God's just showing you it's still there. I'm going to bring another person and just kind of cut you off. What you going to do? The same thing. Don't you think God is trying to get us to go up, but we keep going down? And I'm not talking about going down in humility, but going down the same road that we've been going through. We need to go up. But we need to let go of some things that are weighing us down. How many of you got things that are weighing you down? Be real with yourself. It's Wednesday night Bible study. You got things weighing you down? Circumstances just, they don't line up. Hello? Yeah. Get you kind of frustrated, doesn't it? How's your frustration changing things? Let's turn some lights on. I want to see some eyes. Is your frustration, is it helping? The other one's, here you go. No? Not helping? How's your blood pressure? Blood pressure is good. Y'all are okay, right? Y'all are all healthy. I know you're healthy. Everything's good. I'm in the wrong church, so let me back up. I'll put it in reverse. Hold up. You ain't got no physical issues, but you got attitude issues. Do you see a pattern where you go? And you blame everybody else? But you're the common denominator in all the different jobs that you've had? Look at you. Look at you. Y'all want to look around. Like, I had an attitude problem. God says, you want promotion? Want promotion? Yeah, God, well, I want to get promoted. I'll make some more money. That's why you're not getting promoted. You're looking at money as the driving force. How about learning and obtaining knowledge of what you're doing so that you can get promoted and get more money? Understand? Have better understanding, have knowledge. But I had a bad attitude. How many of you got a bad attitude when you're at working? Yeah. Doesn't make it go any better, any faster. Okay, how about y'all are in school? The ones that are in school, huh? Right, because something is always there, right? And it can change. It may not be the same girl, same boy, and it may not be the teacher. It may be just the fact that you're in school. Right? They changed the lunch program, and they don't have the enchiladas like they used to have on Wednesdays. You know, even though the tortillas were all hard, and you couldn't even cut it with the spork. Remember the sporks? Okay? And so what happens is we get mad because now you got to have an apple or you got to have some cheese. Thank you, Miss Obama. Nothing tastes good no more. So we don't want to go to school because it's not good for us. In actuality, God's trying to tell you, hey, I'm trying to get some good things in you, but you're getting mad at the things that you don't have right now. So how are we going to transcend if we're getting mad and attitude all over the place? Some of y'all should be wearing neck braces because y'all... Some of y'all's eyes should be stuck in the corner because you're like, right? And then, God, if I would have did that to my mom would have. Is that right, Brian?
That's right.
Do you understand? My cousin, Leonard, her son, big dude. He said, look at me. He said, whatever you do, don't roll your eyes. Say it again.
No chupa los dientes.
That's what I said, too. I didn't understand. Guess who would always get caught? Gordo didn't know what was going on. Gordo didn't walk in. Say it again.
No chupen los dientes.
Okay, now here's the thing. Oh, all of us. Whatever. So, my cousin Leonard, big dude. Big. Let me buy ya. 5 with heels. Or then with the bouffant. 5'2". Her son would come in, roll his eyes. Care how big you is.
How old you are.
So they, pow! I learned by watching that. And he's big. He come back in the room, all mad and this thing. He's big. I'm a big dude. Cousin. I was the youngest at the time. I was always with the older boys. And I didn't learn. So I started watching how they're getting in trouble. I rolled in the eyes, so I wouldn't roll my eyes in front of mama. And in front of grandma. I figured dad ain't going to do that. My dad ain't going to do that. One day I did that to my dad. See, I didn't like my name. Just y'all find some stuff out about me. But look here. I'm getting back to my message. Just hold on. I didn't like my name. Watch this. I like my name. What did I change my name to?
Jack.
Jack. Marty sounds like it's not like a man's name or a dude's name. I'm going to be like Jack. So my dad, watch this, when I rolled my eyes and yeah, he said, Jack, come here. Hey, Daddy. I don't know where. Watch this. She ain't talking to me. She ain't talking about me. Y'all looking at me. Ah, oh, that's that age going. Get pastor. Some of you on the podcast, what they laughing at? You should have been here. But I learned something because I didn't like something about me. Watch this. Watch the transition back. That I wanted to change something, but it wasn't really me. I tried to act like my friend Jack, who was always in trouble, thinking he was cool. So I tried to change something, but nothing was really changing. I was acting like somebody else. And God was beginning to show me, not then, because I was there, didn't know. But back in November, he was telling me, I need to change some things about you. And how you see things. You think it's about filling your church. You think it's about doing certain things and just preaching. There's more to my kingdom that you don't understand. Are you willing to learn? What's I read all the time? I pray. I fast. I read. I thought I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. Right? Says, you're not doing what I told you to do because you're afraid to do it. How are you going to excel if you're afraid? How are you going to overcome if you're afraid? Quit being something you're not and be who I called you to be. Right? Well, so y'all say amen because I'm talking about me. Oh, let's put it back on y'all. Since it's Bible study tonight, you know you have issues with your attitude, your anger, but you won't change it. You deal with it the same way. You respond the same way. Isn't it time to make change? It's time for you to say yes to Daddy in heaven to make change. There is nothing that you're going to experience here that he hasn't experienced. There's nothing you can say, oh God, you don't understand. Let me remind you. Mm-hmm. Jesus comes as a boy wrapped in a manger, a baby wrapped in a manger. The manger was not where he's supposed to be born, right? We would think he's a king. It's the Son of God. Should be in a palace. But in a manger, stinky, dirty, ugly. Shoo. Got no TV or none. Got no mobile above the crib. Jesus is a baby that comes in, and he left heaven to come. You would think that he would come in as the deity that he is. Why did he come as a baby? Hello? So he can experience the crying of hunger. It's a baby. And needing mama and daddy. We're going to get somewhere today. See, coming in as a baby in the manger, he had to rely on mom and dad for everything. So some of you children in here, teenagers, think y'all know it all. Mm-hmm. Think you got it all down packed. Mm-hmm. So did Jesus when he became a boy. Mm-hmm. Goes in the temple. Start preaching. At 12 years old. Some of y'all might get a little bit upset about this. Just because he's preaching at 12 years old doesn't mean he became a young man. Jewish tradition, because now you're going to get circumcised. You're going to get... Oh, Lord Jesus. Become wise enough. Until you're 12 years old. Whatever. Here's the truth. Mama came in the picture again. Mama said, boy, what you doing? You have me worried. Come over here. She got him by the ear, I can tell. Because all through scripture, later on it says, those that have ears, because he felt it. Let him hear. Right? Some of us, we don't... I was glad that the Lord... Bless me with no earlobes like this. Mama and grandma used to try to grab. Couldn't grab it. Run on by. Couldn't grab. Watch this. So even mama told Jesus, God himself. Boy, don't you know you had me and your daddy worrying? Get your tail up. I don't know. You know, my Bible reads it that way. And don't you roll your eyes and no me
chupa los dientes.
And don't you do that either. But don't you. Andale, mira. Watch this. Look at here. Pay attention. How many of you as adults has God had to tell you, hey, get over here. It ain't your time to be over there doing what you're doing. You already know better. Oh, but no, but mira, I know everything. I'm 12 years old. I'm going to go and do it at 12 years old. Get back over here. Watch this. So Jesus comes in the form as a baby, turns into a boy. But the things that I find that are very interesting, that even as a baby, the stars announced his birth. Well, wait a minute, as a baby, he already transcended, not as a normal baby. He exceeded as a normal baby. Do you see that? Okay, even as a boy, when he's in there, he got lost. My question is, I keep an eye on my kids like, I know where my kids are at. Even though when they try to hide, I know where they're at. Mm-hmm. 3 days later, Mary and Joseph look, we lost God. They go back to, and then they find him in the temple, right? Okay. But here's what I find in the same story. That's a good one right there. Now listen. At 12 years old, he excelled in the word. That even the scholars and the teachers looked at him like, oh, who is this boy that speaks with such authority? He excelled. Do you see the progression? Even as Jesus, as a baby, a boy, and growing up, he excels in everything. Why is it? Oh, this is not my soapbox. I'm sorry. Why is it that Christians can't grow up? How come we can excel in Christianity, but we can have all these other religions going door to door, and we got Christians afraid to even talk to other people? Oh my God, I'm just stay here for a little bit. Here, let's just don't you. Do you know if you're going to heaven? Yes, I'm going to heaven. Why? How do you know you're going to heaven? Because I believe I'm going to heaven. Well, I would like for you to read this watchtower thing right here, please. And only 144,000 are going to go to heaven. But we can't even have Christians respond correctly to them. We can't even get Christians out of their own home, out of the mattress, out of the couch, away from the TV, away from their computers. Forget even the church. Get them out there to do the church. Why can't the church grow up? Why can't the church excel? Because we're holding on to fear. You know what fear is being, what it's done to the church? It's crippled the church. You know why people won't go knock on doors? They're afraid that they're going to look like a fool. Honestly. That's true. How many of you remember when we went door to door over here in the back? You go knock. No, I don't want to go knock. You knock. It's your turn. And then you'll knock and then you just kind of. And then you will let the other two people that are standing there with your team. Where did she go? She just knocked and she walked away. Why? We're afraid of rejection. Rejection. But haven't you realized that you've been accepted by God? And if God has accepted you, what are you worried about if other people accept you? And what happens is we get so crippled in our thinking that we've got to stay like we know so much. If you read so much, you study so much, what are you doing with it? There's a dying world out there. And don't go over there just because you know all the commandments. And do this one. Have you ever lied? Then you're a sinner. Okay, have you ever cheated on your taxes? You're a sinner. Watch this.